come here and learn about you. And help us to have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, my friends, we are now approaching what they call the Easter season, Holy Week. And this is an incredible story about God. And it's an impact story. When I say impact, so much is taking place in 1 week. Now, remember, Jesus has now got 12 disciples, and they've been following him all around the Galilee area, and that's northern part of Israel. And Jesus says to his disciples, "My hour has come to glorify my Father. And I'm going to glorify him, and in doing so, I am glorified. And we must go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover." So, does anyone here know what the Passover is? Whoa, look at all those hands. I love that. Tell me what the Passover is.
The Passover is a time where they put the blood of a lamb on the top of their door.
Why?
Because is a long time ago, all these, in the story of Moses, all the people were being killed. So then... I don't remember who, but somebody came and told them all to put blood over their door of a lamb.
Okay, someone else tell me a little bit more about the Passover. Why the Passover?
The Passover was when Moses told the Hebrews to put lamb's blood on their doors, and they ate a feast called the Passover because the angel of death was going to pass over their door because it would think that the lamb's blood meant they killed the child. And the Passover feast is now celebrated like every year.
Okay, so the Hebrews were in bondage in Egypt, and then God put a curse and plagues on the people and then on the land, and then he protected the Israelites. And you're right, that he was told that, listen, you need to sacrifice a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And then the angel of death was going to pass over Egypt, and those who weren't saved by God would die, the firstborn. And so this Passover was a symbol of a sacrifice that God was making for mankind to be freed from bondage. So Jesus says to his disciples, look, we got to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover. And by the way, I'm the Passover. I'm the lamb. They're going to kill me. And they're all going, what? What? No, no way, Jesus. We love you. And everybody loves you. You've been healing people. And no, Jesus says, no, I have to go to Israel. I mean, to Jerusalem. So they walked down to Jericho. John the Baptist was still baptizing people, purifying them. And a lot of people were following Jesus. And they trooped up from Jericho up to Jerusalem, and it's called the Road of Blood. I've actually been on that road. It's a very, very narrow road in caverns. Anyone been up there by Mount Lebanon in the caverns, you know, the canyons and stuff like that? Rough road. And the disciples are going up there, and they can't believe that Jesus is going to die. He's got a lot of people following him. So they get to Jerusalem, and he's camping out with some friends. And when this guy called Lazarus dies, and Mary says, Jesus, if only you'd gotten here, my brother wouldn't have died. Hurry, hurry, help him. And Jesus took some time to go see Lazarus. Lazarus was in the grave for 3 days. You know why he was in the grave for 3 days? Because the Egyptians actually could raise someone from the dead in 2 days. So 3 days meant that no one had ever done that. So Jesus goes to the tomb, and he stands there, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Do you know why he said, Lazarus, come forth, and not just come forth? Because if he said, just come forth, everybody that was dead would have come out of the grave. He had to single out Lazarus. He showed his authority over death. And it was important that Jesus did this before he got to the Passover. So now Lazarus comes out of the grave, and everybody's really shocked at this guy Jesus. So much so that Pharisees plan to kill him. They plot a way that they're going to destroy him. Now, what happens on Sunday? We got no. Let keep the hands because I got to go. I got a short time here, guys. So it's called the triumphal entry. Jesus, according to the scripture, takes a colt and he mounts the colt and he rides into Jerusalem as a king. Now, most people would think, oh, a king would have a great big white stallion and he would troop in with all the soldiers. Not Jesus. He came in there humbly on a donkey. And when he got in there, he's upset with how people are just treating his father's house. It's a busy week in Jerusalem. And then Jesus prepares for the Passover, and the disciples are still very concerned. He says, so he has this Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, and they have this meal together. And Jesus then turns around and he says, guess what? One of you guys is going to betray me. Ooh, yeah. That's exactly what John said. Who is it? Who's going to betray you, Jesus? And Jesus says, the one who dips into the wine after me, he's the one. And they didn't even know that Judas dipped in there. And then Jesus said to Judas, do what you do quickly. And Judas ran off, and he went and found the guards and the Pharisees. And he said, listen, Jesus is going to go to Garden of Gethsemane. They're out this place right now having a meal. And he betrayed Jesus, and they gave him money to sell out Jesus. So now Jesus and his disciples go to the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll answer a couple questions in a minute. They get to the Garden of Gethsemane. All the guys are tired. And Jesus says, listen, stand on watch while I go pray. And Jesus walked off on his own. You know, the scripture said that he was so distressed, so afraid. Imagine that, Jesus afraid? Really? Jesus was afraid. He was afraid to die. He was afraid of what he had to face. So much so that he sweat blood. Yeah. Blood. And it's actually an actual physical thing that can happen. Someone that is that stressed can actually bleed from the forehead. So the disciples, you know what they're doing? They're sleeping. How much are you watching Jesus? They weren't watching Jesus. They were concerned about themselves. And Jesus said, you can't wait and watch 1 hour. Well, then he goes off and prays again. This time, an army of guards come down to arrest Jesus. And Peter, the rock, remember the guy called the rock, his rock, because he believed in Jesus. I'll go anywhere for you, Jesus. I'll do anything for you, Jesus. I'll even die for you, Jesus. The guard comes up, and Peter pulls out his sword, and he whacks off an ear of one of the guards with the sword. You know what Jesus did? I love this part. Jesus picks up this guard's ear and sticks it back on. You know what the picture of that is? I see that as, if you have an ear, listen. So his last real miracle was putting an ear back on someone who wasn't listening. So then Jesus says, put your sword away. Now Satan comes alongside of Jesus. He says, you know what? Peter's not so faithful. I'm telling you, he'll back away from you. And Jesus gives Satan permission to test Peter. Satan cannot touch you, guys. He cannot touch you unless God allows it. But he will not let Satan have victory. So Jesus says to Peter, okay, test him. Test him. So Peter says, no way, no way, Jesus, I'm with you all the way. And Jesus says to Peter, tonight, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. They arrest Jesus, and they do this, what they call trumped up trial, and they charge him falsely, and they beat him, and they embarrassed him, they stripped him, mocked him, spit on him. And then people said, hey, aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? Peter says, not me. No, I don't know him. No, not me. And then Peter's by the fire, and he's warming himself up, and he says, aren't you from Galilee? Aren't you one of them? No. Peter's now quieter. And then someone else says to Peter, I know you're one of them. And Peter says, not me. And the rooster crowed. Now, Jesus is standing on a platform, and they're judging him and spitting on him, beating on him. And Jesus, the scripture says that Jesus gazed at Peter. What do you think that look Jesus gave to Peter was? What do you think that look was, Anthony?
Love.
Bingo. Most people say, well, you think he was afraid or shameful. No, Jesus looked on Peter with love and compassion. Why? Because he told Peter he had to do that. Peter had to do that because the scriptures in the Old Testament said that he had to do that. So now they take Jesus off and they nail him to a cross. Why? Because it was a curse to be nailed to a tree. He had to be a fulfillment of the prophecies that were in the Old Testament. And as Jesus was on this cross, do you know that he cried out not once other than to his Father and to say that it was finished? And all that pain, all that suffering for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world, for those who believed. Now, John, I had a friend yesterday I shared the gospel with, and I like to share that letter, John, is a love letter. And some of you guys are not old enough yet to have received the love letter. Some of the adults in this room have. And when you receive a love letter, you read it carefully. You read it again, and you ponder what it says. You treasure it. The letter of John is a love letter. John was there when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He followed him for 3.5 years, and John was the only disciple that was at the cross. They all ran away. So being a Christian is not easy to do. Following Jesus comes at a cost. You guys will find out how hard it is. Because we talked about that Satan is the power of the principles of this world, the darkness. He's doing a bad job on us, guys. And Christians are being persecuted. And your age group is going to be a lot different than Nancy's, because we weren't persecuted as much as you guys will be persecuted. And you will have to hold fast, just like Peter did. Now Jesus he died on the cross, and they buried him. And he rose on the third day from the dead. You know what? Peter and John ran to that tomb. I believe that John encouraged Peter all those 3 days that Jesus was in the tomb, because I believe that Peter was broken in his heart because he betrayed Christ. And God's love covers all of that. And Peter outran to the tomb, all the others, and he raced in to the tomb to see that Jesus was gone. He's not gone. He's alive. And he meets up with the disciples, and he tells them, where I'm going, you can't come. but I'm preparing a place. I truly believe that, guys, that God has a place in heaven for us. He says it's a mansion, and that it will be a perfect place, like the Garden of Eden. That's what Easter week is about. It's about a celebration of a Savior who provides a way for all of us, for who believe, to enter into an eternal promise of everlasting life. I am so proud of you guys. I am so thankful that you have a desire to know more about God. Can I ask you guys to make a commitment tonight to stay fast in the Word of God? Memorize it, plant it in your heart, and keep it. Treasure it, hold fast to it. Two people, I'll answer questions. Yes?
Does Jesus have a place for dogs?
Not really.
He comes
back riding on a white horse. So I think my dog's going to be there too. He says in the scriptures that he's going to make all things new. There's a song that says, I can only imagine that when I get to heaven, what it'll be like, that there'll be a sea of crystal glass and there'll be a multitude of people that we've known our lives, our pets, everything will be made new. That's what the scripture says, girl. It's a promise, and everything will be new. And that's the hope. That's the hope that I have, and I have belief that it's all the hope of all these adults that are here, too, that one day we will rest in peace, seated with Christ, face to face, as he promised from the beginning. Father God, thank you for this church. Thank you, Father, for the people that give so much to these children. And Father, again, I ask that you would just strengthen them. Give them courage, Father, to stand on a battlefield and stand for truth in Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dennis. All right.